From Washington to Amsterdam, big events that could rock our economy. For Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison, in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The Federal Reserve is raising interest rates by 0.25%, but there is much more to the story than that. That's why we have our regular guest, Diane Swonk from DS Economics. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
So the Fed headline interest rate hike was as expected, but there's always a lot of other information from the Fed in these announcements about how people are thinking about the economy overall. What struck you as interesting yesterday beyond the headlines of the 0.25% interest rate increase?
I think the most important point is the fact that the Fed underscored in their statement that the inflation target is symmetric. What that means in Fed speak is that they're willing to overshoot a bit on inflation after undershooting for several years and allow unemployment to fall further to get more people on the dance floor. They're not hitting the brakes. They're just easing up a bit on the accelerator as they raise rates at this stage of the game.
Let's take this a little bit more global. Lots of investors were watching the Dutch elections yesterday for signs as to how strong the far right movement could be in Europe. The hard right party did not do as well as expected. How much does that tell us about how worried we should be about the future of the euro and the global economy as we get into other elections in other countries?
Well, the key issue about the Netherlands election is they're one of the core eurozone countries. And so if they had voted in someone who wanted to opt out of both the EU and the eurozone, we'd be much more worried about the contagion effects to the rest of Europe. This was one piece of affirmation that many people in Europe still want to be in the eurozone and in the European Union. We still have the French elections, however, to go.
Okay, Diane Swonk, as always, thanks very much.
Thank you.
President Trump's new budget proposal is out this morning. It has big increases for defense and homeland security, but the State Department, EPA, and various cultural programs get hit hard with cuts. This is a proposal, which means Congress gets a say, and a lot will change before anything here becomes reality. But it is still a red alert for those who stand to lose money, including many American cities. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra joins us live from New York with more on that. So, Mariel, what is at stake for American cities here?
The federal funding that goes to cities comes from a few agencies. One is the Department of Housing and Urban Development. Under this budget proposal, it's getting cut by more than $6 billion. It's about 13%. That includes cuts to funding cities get for affordable housing, anti-poverty efforts, neighborhood transformation. Another agency that funnels money to cities is the Department of Homeland Security. Its funding is actually going up in this budget. But there will be cuts to certain programs. For instance, there's something called the Homeland Security Grant Program. It, in part, pays for counterterrorism in cities like New York, L.A., Washington, D.C., and the president's budget cuts some of that program. Keep in mind, this is a preliminary budget, not a ton of details yet, and some of that money was cut and then restored under the Obama administration.
Okay, so if some of these cuts become reality, the ones that the cities and the people that you've been talking to are the most worried about, what would they do to fill those gaps?
They've been trying to figure that out. They're doing things like having their budget offices run worst-case scenarios and also trying to save money where they can. New York City has been stocking money away into its reserve fund just in case. But I talked to Doug Turetsky from New York's Independent Budget Office, and he says there's a risk to using these funds to plug holes in federal funding.
Then the city is basically saying, okay, don't worry about it. We can handle it. Does that encourage more cuts?
And that's not the message any city wants to send to the federal government right now.
Okay, Mariel Segarra, thanks very much.
Thanks.
High-end fashion brand Canada Goose is set to raise hundreds of millions of dollars in its IPO today. It makes super expensive winter coats that are getting plenty of wear this week as snow covers much of the country. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein looks at the challenges for luxury brands that go public.
A luxury brand like Louis Vuitton or Hermes is a rare species, owned by a few, coveted by many. They soar when fashionable, but can crash overnight. Vulnerable to fickle tastes. Therein lies the risk of going public, says Mickey Alam Khan of Luxury Daily.
The luxury business should not be about scale. It should be about exclusivity. A brand should not be under constant pressure to produce more products.
Of course, when they go public, Wall Street demands more. That's tripped up a number of these companies.
For any luxury brand, they would probably rather not go public.
But high-end companies are doing just that, says Maureen Atkinson at J.C. Williams Group, because they're hungry to expand into China and beyond.
If you want to access these markets, you really need the resources behind you.
Canada Goose faces a promise by the animal rights group PETA to snap up shares in its Coyote Fur Goose Down coat business to, quote, bring the fight for animals straight to the boardroom. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
And finally, gin is making such a comeback in the UK that the government is now tracking it for the official inflation numbers. Government workers check the prices of hundreds of different products to measure inflation. Gin was once on that list, but got dropped in recent years as drinkers tired of gin and branched out to other spirits and drinks. But new distilleries and a classic cocktail renaissance have gin flying off the shelves again. So just this week, Britain's Office for National Statistics returned gin to its price survey. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.